Salutations. Welcome to another edition of Maison Avenue Audio, the official podcast of your SB Nation New York Mets site, Maison Avenue. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me on this Sunday evening is Brian Renzi. Brian, it is Hall of Fame Induction Sunday. So in that spirit, the Mets haven't inducted anyone in a couple years now, not since Mike Piazza in 2013. But if you could induct one former Met into the Mets, or a former person associated with the Mets, it's not just players, who would you pick?
Just one, huh? Well, there's, you know, unfortunately a dearth of candidates, as we all know, of having long-standing impacts on the team. We've got some guys who are on the outside looking in who had some short bursts of brilliance, like Hojo, say. You got some guys who are still playing, like Jose Reyes. Or, of course, you got some people in management who are still working for us. That, you know, the Mets Hall of Fame is pretty, like, management-heavy for whatever reason. So, yeah, I mean, you could look at one of the Wilpons, too, I'm sure. But yeah,
I'm sure they'll put themselves in at some point.
One should hope. But yeah, I guess I'll go with Hojo. Just fan favorite, put together some incredible numbers, 30-30 a couple of times. You know, did everything the Mets ever asked of him. I think he deserves a nod.
I think I'm gonna go with Ron Darling. I was thinking about Fonzie, and I think Fonzie probably is the next guy on the list. But, you know, Keith is already in. I think once we get Ronnie in, too. And he's the kind of guy that I think goes into a team Hall of Fame. Just feels like a long-standing association with the team. Of course, a broadcaster now. Pretty good pitcher. I like get Ronnie in. That would be a fun induction ceremony, if nothing else.
Yeah, absolutely. Get a little roast action going on. Bring back some of his former teammates. Could be fun.
For some strange reason, I noticed I happened to be at both the Franco and Piazza inductions in 2012 and 2013. Just sort of worked out that way. I didn't really plan it. But I noticed, like, Ed Charles is one of the guys on sort of the Mets Hall of Fame committee, which I'm sure is a more ceremonial title than anything else. But Ed Charles, not actually in the Mets Hall of Fame.
Right. I'm looking at the career leaders for WAR here in team history, and basically if people retired, the only ones who are in the top 10 who are not in the Mets Hall of Fame is Edgardo, Alfonso, Hojo, John Stearns.
Yeah, that's right. Grody is in, but Stearns is not. He also had he unfortunately played for some very bad Mets teams, which I think is probably the issue there.
Right.
And his numbers aren't going to jump out on you because he was a catcher. So this is episode 130 of Maison Avenue Audio. We're doing, I guess technically it's not 2 in 1 week because it's Sunday, but we'd figure we'd catch you up to date on recent news that I'm sure you're already well aware of. The Mets have promoted Michael Conforto to the majors. He played this past weekend against the Dodgers, and they also made a trade for Juan Uribe and Kelly Johnson. So we'll round up that news really quickly. We also have an email I forgot to answer on this week's show. I don't know how that happened. We'll remedy that. If you did email into the podcast, it's our last show. I'm not answering all of them. We'll have another show, I guess, technically later this week, probably after the trade deadline, so it sort of spaces things out nicely, at least in my mind. But we will start with Michael Conforto, now in the majors, as we predicted. I don't remember what I said on the show, but I'm going to say I predicted they would call him up for the series. He came up Friday. They finally mercifully DL'd Michael Kondire and looked pretty good. Granted, he did the bulk of his damage against what is essentially AAA pitching. We probably already suspected he could hit AAA pitching, but how has the Michael Conforto experience been for you so far, Brian?
I'm loving it. I mean, just already, I got to say, he's vying for best approach on the team. I mean, he looks like a major league hitter. He knows what he's trying to do up there. He's zoning pitches really well. And I mean, yeah, like it's, I don't know if that's how damning that is to a guy jumps from Double A and he's got one of the best approaches on your team already, but that's the kind of stuff we're needing. I'm happy with what I'm seeing. Looks really smooth, really confident. You know, got a little swagger out there in his step, both, you know, on the base pass, fielding a little bit. He's, you know, had a couple run-ins with some teammates on calling for some balls, but he looks like the real deal. And I mean, I just, what I like about his makeup, I got to say, is the confidence. He kind of, his body language reminds me a little bit of Lee Mazzilli back in the day. Like, I feel like he could be strutting down Boardwalk in Coney Island, you know, tomorrow afternoon in a muscle shirt. But yeah, I mean, like, and that's, and when you really,
he does not have Lee Mazzilli's body though.
that's true. It's fair enough, but
he looks more like the guy that would be strolling down Coney Island in a muscle shirt though.
True. But yeah, I mean, like the fact is, like, you know, he's from the Pacific Northwest, which is really, there's kind of a dearth of swagger over there. It's something that's kind of looked down upon, and the fact that he's come through his life with this sort of swagger, I don't know. I think it maybe speaks something about him and says that this is a guy that you want on your team. Because, yeah, I mean, he's definitely in the 99th percentile in swagger as far as, like, Pacific Northwest goes.
You are a West Coast correspondent, so I'll take your word for that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's you know, people are, you know, much more kind of introspective, inward looking, and, you know, not showiness is to be kind of stamped out in the most part up here. But like, yeah, he's definitely got a little pep in his step.
Yeah, and he's not. I wouldn't necessarily qualify him as a sort of a flashy player per se.
Oh no,
he's like I said, it's not so much, and you touched on it. As far as approach goes, not just that his approach is excellent, which it is. You know, he has the sort of vaunted strike zone control that the front office likes. But he just, and I said it when I saw him in Binghamton, and you saw it, I think, over the past couple of days, he just takes really good at-bats. And he knows how to actually work a count. He changes his approach based on the count. He's comfortable hitting with two strikes. Yeah, Zach Greinke got him with a changeup, but Zach Greinke's going to be everybody with that pitch, so... That kind of stuff doesn't really worry me. And he's hit some balls hard. I think he'll continue to hit some balls hard. He's pretty good in left field if he can stop running into people, which hopefully he will get out of his system now. And so the one thing, I guess, that I don't say it bothers me about this, but, and we'll touch on this when we talk about the trade as well, it's just like, why didn't they do this 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's... I guess you can argue it's they're trying to juggle 40-man roster spots and trying to make some other trades and see if they can hold him down. But yeah, it is a little bit inconceivable that people would thought that he wasn't ready to handle major league pitching. This is the exact same approach that we saw in spring training. You know, like this kind of leads me to believe he could have been, you know, hitting in the majors a lot earlier than a couple days ago.
Yeah, and look, it's 12 plate appearances. He's hitting .444, .583, .667. Probably not sustainable, but you know, he can be a, like I said, I think he can be an average major league hitter the rest of the way, which is, of course, an upgrade over what the Mets have been rolling out there in recent weeks.
If I do Tide, you want anything?
Yeah, I'll do Drunken Noodles.
Say what?
I'll do Drunken Noodles.
Drunken Noodles?
Yeah. Or my parents for Sunday dinner while we're recording this.
Right on. No, that's a good call.
Yeah, I just go with something. It's, you know, suburban Connecticut. I can't be too adventurous with my Thai food selections.
Righto.
Right, I was talking about Michael Conforto.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. With I think a number you threw out there a couple months back was looking at him as a .260 hitter. From what I'm seeing, I see him hitting, you know, I'd like to